Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I humble myself. I strip myself of every knowledge or ability, Lord God, I might have as I approach this hallowed pulpit this evening. I ask for fresh mercy and grace to use all you have taught me, all we have been taught, to speak beyond my natural ability. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened with revelation of your word as it goes forth, and our emotions to further control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As our word goes forth, let it go forth in power and accuracy, to set men free, to cause need in the lives of men. Lord God, to cause glory to God, name of Jesus Christ, blessings unto us, the sons of men. I also ask for help, Lord, to redeem the time. Help me to speak as an oracle of God, bringing out the treasure of your word, things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is Righteousness, Temperance, and Judgment. Let's go. Righteousness, Temperance, and Judgment. Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 24, verse 25. As we open there, I'll give a background. Pastor has been sharing recently with us about crucifying the flesh, about self-control. So here we see Paul standing before Felix, you know, and then the Bible says, let's now read. Are we all there? Praise the Lord. So we're talking today about righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Let's all read. And as he reasoned, that's talking about Paul talking to Felix and all the people that were in that place. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix what? Trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What I want us to see there is when Paul began to speak about righteousness, temperance, and judgment, the Bible says to come. The Bible says that Felix trembled. It's time for us in the, but not tremble in a negative way. You know, Felix wasn't born again, so to speak. That's why he trembled, you know. So, but as he spoke to him about these three things, the Bible says that Felix trembled. In the NIV, he uses the word temperance, he uses the word, what does he use for, self-control. If you have people in the Amplified Bible, are we all the NIV, sorry. Yeah, it says NIV, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. As Paul discussed on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Praise the Lord. What I want to see there is this, there is righteousness, self-control, and judgment. It's in the sequence. It's an order. Righteousness first, then that righteousness is supposed to help to achieve self-control, so which will now determine judgment. Your judgment here on earth, in terms of whether we receive the Spirit, that measure, and at the bema seat of Christ. Praise the Lord. I put in my mind, I say, the understanding of or the daily practice of righteousness, self-control by the Spirit, will determine our destinies as born-again Christians and also the destinies of the nations of the world. As we continue, you'll see. Let's look at the life of Paul. Pastor has been preaching from Paul in this same scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Paul is a pattern disciple. So we can look at what he said and what he did and follow him. Praise the Lord. Are we all there? So this is what Paul said, talking about himself. And he said something very interesting. In spite of writing two-thirds of the New Testament, he said something. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run. You are going too fast. So run. Go back to the... So run that you what may obtain. Next verse. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate, that is, has self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain what? A corruptible crown. But we are incorruptible. Next verse. I therefore, so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Next verse. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. Like Pastor told us, this is not, castaway does not mean go to hellfire. It means to be disapproved of. Bible uses the word reprobate silver. that after I've done all this, at least he will not say this if it is not possible. So God is telling us also that if you don't learn self-control by the Spirit, if you don't practice self-control by the Spirit, it is possible to become a castaway at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, I also said, we look at the life of Daniel. I said, it will determine our destinies and the destinies of the nations of the world. Let's look at the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 to 3. Daniel stands out in the Old Testament. He practiced self-denial. We know Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says that when they said, he said, without part, he said, the purpose in himself, they will not defile himself with what? The king's meat. We know that story. So that is part of it. We know that Daniel fasted. We know that Daniel prayed. Are you following me? These are the things that contribute to self-denial. We are not talking about self-denial using the flesh. You know, we have people that are not Christians. They fast. They deny themselves. We have all these gurus that you see that they do all kinds of crazy stuff. But we are talking about self-denial by the Spirit. That is the one that is going to be accepted by God. That is the one that will lead us to the inheritance of the Spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. So Daniel chapter 2 verse 3, what does it say? It says, in the first year of his reign, talking about the reign of the king Darius, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish what? 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. Next verse. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So you can see Daniel here, using as an example of how God expects us to possess the nations as our inheritance. Firstly, ourselves, like Paul said, that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and now about Daniel. He said he understood by the books. Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would be in Babylon for 70 years. All of a sudden, 70 years had come and yet nothing was happening, just like we see in the nation Nigeria. We have read prophecies about Elton and all these things. And what is the body of Christ doing? Thank God for the father of the house that have raised up different prayer altars. Because this thing, for us to achieve God's purpose for our nation or any other nation, it must be done this same way, through self-denial by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So now let us look at it one at a time. Say righteousness, self-denial, and judgment. Praise the Lord. So let's look at righteousness. I will just explain briefly. You all understand. We know. We should know this by now. To save time. Righteousness here speaks. It's twofold. It speaks about our right standing with God. Say right standing with God. And then our right doing. Are you following me? So when we got born again, the Bible says that he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be what? The righteousness of God in him. That speaks about us receiving the life of God, our right standing that we obtain through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born righteous the day you got born again. And that is attained to by being born again. That is through the blood, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But you see, many Christians stop here. But there's another level to move on. That right standing is supposed to be the foundation on which you now practice right doing, in which we receive the life of God daily in sufficient measure to practice right doing. Simply put, it's perfecting the love of God. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Say right standing and right doing. So we see that is what Paul was talking about. He was talking to Agrippa. He talks about righteousness, self-denial, and judgment. So the starting point for anybody, even unbelievers, is to first of all get born again. If you don't get born again, you don't have any right standing with God. You cannot even access the blood of Jesus Christ or the life of God. Let me just take a little bit of detour. I had to counsel somebody. I was talking to the person. You know, the person was a Christian and he had somebody working for me who was not a Christian. So we were talking and everything. So we got to talking and I told him, I said, do you know the difference between him, this person, this your boy working for you, and yourself, is that this your boy that is not born again does not have access to the blood, the word, and the Spirit. He has no equipment. Any unbeliever has no equipment. I said, but you and I, we have access to the blood, the word, and the Spirit. That is why God will show you more mercy. Are you following me? But you, that you have the blood, the word, and the Spirit, if you don't take advantage of it, then your judgment or punishment with God will be more severe. Why? Because the unbeliever can only live or survive by the mercy of God from the outside. But you have the equipment. It's like somebody that they give drugs to use and he refuses to use it. Are you following me? So the person, when I began to talk to the person, man, I said, that's true. I said, yes, that's why we cannot be negligent or despise the things that have been given to us. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. So we've spoken about, right, Romans chapter 13, verse 10, the Amplified Bible. Talks about love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible says, love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, what? Love meets all the requirements and is the what? The fulfilling of the law. So love is always doing what is right. Right doing. So what this means is, when we talk about our righteousness that Paul is talking about here, he's talking about firstly our right standing with God through the blood of Jesus. That gives us access to the life of God. I follow that life of God will now receive in sufficient measure, Lord, to attain unto daily self-denial, that is, which is to perfect the love of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. So now let's look at self-control. I will take some time to talk about self-control, because that is where all of us are now today. The Bible says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So self-control speaks of our daily using of the blood, the word, and the spirit to overcome and to crucify the lust of the flesh, especially over talking, over eating, over sleeping, and over indulgence in anything to do the will of God. Now, I added to this, Apostle Aristotle, is only a prayer book, but we don't just stop there. Till the life of God is made fully manifest in the flesh. You see, our daily self-denial has a purpose, and the ultimate purpose is for the life of God to be made manifest in our mortal body, as you can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. We don't have to turn there. So each time we deny ourselves, when you say we deny ourselves, you know, over talking, over eating, over sleeping by the spirit, and any overindulgence in anything, what we are doing is we are pumping the life of God into us, from our spirits, into our souls, into our physical bodies, in sufficient measure, to overcome this loss. And then ultimately, we saturate, as so as to speak, our souls and our bodies with this life of God. That is the end of our daily self denial, so that we can inherit the spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says that, and they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh of his what? Affections and lusts. So for you to know whether you are Christ, it's not from this scripture, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh of his affections. That is, those that ultimately will be accepted, those that will not be a castaway. Are you following me? Will have practice the habit of crucifying the flesh of his affections alone. Paul says something called 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said that, I die what? Daily. It's a daily affair. I say it's a daily affair. You continue doing that until you come to that place, like Papa Ralph said many years ago, that Paul said, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth what? In me. That is our purpose. That is our goal. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, let's look more at this aspect of self-control or self-denial. Self-control. I put it in my notes. I said, hence, this speaks also of the manifestation of the first fruits overcomer vanguard from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. This year has been declared as the manifestation of the first fruits overcomer vanguard from this nation, Nigeria. We are talking about the first fruits. The first set of people that stand in Jordan, for Jordan to part the way for the others to follow. The four priests. Are you following me? So we're talking about the first. These are the ones that have learned to crucify the flesh. We are in the post-place now whereby everybody, we are dying daily. But there will come a time, like Paul said, we'll be totally crucified. We'll like crucified our flesh of all its affections and loss. There are no more us that liveth, but Christ that lives in us. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, says that we are saved by his what? Life. It is the life of God that we got in a measure when we got born again in our spirits that is going to save our souls and our physical bodies. Praise the Lord. So let me just explain this further so we can understand this issue of a sin nature. We all know, I just summarized it by the grace of God. And then the life of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have what? Life. And they might have it more abundantly. Are you all following me? So in the beginning, Genesis chapter 4 verse 7. We know the story when Cain killed Abel. God said something very important. He didn't condemn him, but he told him, I just saw him, say, sin, lieth at your door. Let's just read it. If thou doest well, talking to Cain, say, if thou doest well,
shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well. Now, the reason for not doing well is said in the next line. Why? Sin, say sin. Sin now as a nature. Sin now as a substance, not an act. He wasn't talking about what he did here. He's talking about the root cause of what made him kill his brother Abel. Say sin, lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Now notice something very important. He says, sin lieth at your door. Now you know he's not talking about the physical door. Because his sin is spiritual. So you can't see sin at your door. He's talking about the five physical senses. He's trying to tell Cain that, okay, I understand that when Adam fell, you inherited the sin nature that flowed from your spirit, your soul, and your body. So that now begins to control the five physical senses. So it says that sin lieth at your door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Look at what he uses, he is. That means tells you there is someone behind the sin. So his desire, it says, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. That his there is Satan. Bible talk about the prince of the power of the air. Say, where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And I says, but he said that, he said, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So God wants us to rule over the sin nature and Satan himself. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. So I put in my notes here. I said, we are called to take the battle to the gates of our enemies. You see, we have gates. This speaks about the five physical senses. Let me explain for those that are peradventure and not used to these teachings. I don't many people will be listening, probably listening for the first time. You see, you have five physical senses. That is where Satan rules from. Your eye gate, you know, your touching, smelling, you know, hearing, you know, and what you see. So Satan rules through his sin nature, the sin nature in our souls, to control and to dominate and to influence what we think, say, and do. So also, we also have spiritual gates in the heavenlies over every nation. Are you all with me? So, but God says that we are to rule in the midst of violence. So, the Bible says, let's open to the book of Isaiah 28, which is from verses 5 to 6. We have come to the time in which Christians must take the battle to the gates. Are we all there? Isaiah 28, verses 5 to 6. Let's now read. Say, in that day, that is the day we are living in, shall the Lord of hosts be for what? A crown of glory and for a royal diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. He's now talking about the remnant, the overcomer company. It's a remnant company. And he says that the Lord himself, the Lord of hosts, will be a crown of glory and for a royal diadem of beauty. If you remember when Paul was talking, he said, I'm not fighting at one that is beating the air. He said, I'm not fighting uncertainly. He said, everyone that is fighting for the mastery does it to what? Obtain a crown. He said, albeit it's an incorruptible crown, but that incorruptible crown is the crown of the glory of God. Bible says, what? Psalm 8. He says that, oh Lord, my God, that crowned man with glory and honor. That glory that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, God wants to restore it back to us, to man. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And each time, Bible says, this is the beginning of miracles, and it manifests all for his glory. It is going to take the glory that Adam lost for us to totally overcome the sin nature. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Next verse, verse 6. Now let's read together. And for a spirit of what? Judgment. To him that sitteth in what? Judgment. And for what? Strength. Say strength. To them that turn the battle to where? The gates. We are talking about the gates now, the five physical senses, and the gates of the nations of the world. Psalm 24, verses 6 and following. It speaks about a generation of them that seek the Lord. Are we all there? Psalm 24, verse 6, just to put a scripture behind it. We are to rule in the midst of our enemies. The enemy there, firstly, is the carnal mind. As you can see, Romans chapter 8, you don't need to turn there. The Bible says the carnal mind is in enmity with God. Are we there? Romans chapter Psalm 24, verse 6 says, this is what the
generation. That is the 42nd generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Next verse. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the what? King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. We are taking the battle to the gates. Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 10. The last verse, you see. 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You see, it's not just the Lord Jesus Christ now. He's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the company of overcomers that have learned to overcome the loss of flesh, loss of eyes, and the pride of life. The man-child company. They are the ones that are going to pass through the gates. Are you with me? Bible talks about the breaker company. He said that, if you please put it there, it's relevant what I'm talking about. Why this message is very important, that we are at that point in time, in that Kairos moment. Now I understand why this thing has not been possible in the years gone by. But now we have light, understanding, pristine understanding from the fathers to know exactly what to do. Are you following me? Micah 2, 13 is a common scripture we all know. Are we there? Micah 2, 13. Let's together. The breaker is what? Come up before them. They have what? Broken up. And have passed through what? The gate. And have gone out by it. Now let's see. And their king shall pass what? Before them. And the Lord on the head of them. So I have three people there. You have the Lord, you have the king, and you have the people. Are you with me? So it is those, and that is the order. It is not them, the first, then the king, and then the Lord. No, that is the order. Christ first, the hope of glory, Lord Jesus Christ. Then their king. That speaks about kings on Zion's holy hill. Bible says that where the king is, the word of the king, there is power. They scatter evil with their eyes. Are you following me? It's about to say the heart of the king is the hand of the Lord. And as you pass the water, eternity with. So you can know already whether you are a king or you are not. Can you scatter evil with your eyes? Or do you still struggle with thoughts? It's not to be condemned. But if you stay where God has put you, the king cannot take the place of the Lord. Neither can those behind them take the place of the king. It's divine order. Like the book of Psalm 133. Say the anointing comes upon the head, then it flows down to. But the issue is this: if you are in due in order, you will pass through the gates. Firstly, the gates of the five physical senses, and then the gates of the nations. So, what this should be an encouraging message. It means that you don't have to be perfect, but you must be perfecting. Say perfecting. You must be practicing. Praise the Lord. So that is very, very important for us. Now, I'll continue. I wrote some things that the Lord spoke to me. What determines what we do individually is the nature that is dominant at the gates. As our five scriptures, I already explained that. And what also determines what happens in the nations of the world, I follow me, is determined by the people who rule at the gates of the nations. You see, what determines what you do daily is a dynamic thing. It's like you want to leave the house in the morning, you fill the tank of your car with petrol, or maybe you charge your phone. As you continue in the course of the day with different activities, the fuel gauge begins to go down. So it's dynamic. If you don't quickly fill or top up, I follow what will happen. The car will get to a place and it will stop. That has been our experience. You wake up in the morning, you join Good Morning Jesus, you come out of prayer, you are happy, everything is okay. By the time you get to the gate, so to speak, of your place of work, you've already lost everything. No. By the grace of God, we'll see how we can continually rule in the midst of our enemies. Are you with me? So, same to this example of charging our phone. If we charge your phone in the morning, everybody will charge it. Some people will not fully charge your phone, even though there is power. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't wake up to pray in the morning on time. Are you following me? What happens? You charge it, it's not fully charged. Maybe you have 2 bars. Please, brethren, this is not a day to go out with just 1 bar. Or 2 bars. Make sure you go out with your batteries fully charged. Spirit, soul, body. Praise the Lord. So, I've already said that. I said, Bible says, Psalm 110, verse 1 to 2. He said, Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make the enemies thy food. So, when we see the word enemies again, don't let us look at physical enemies. We have two major enemies. The sin nature, residual sin nature in our souls and bodies, and also Satan and all his quarrels. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Once you can deal with those two enemies, I follow me, you'll be able to control their influence over the human enemies. Praise the Lord. So, what I want us to see is this. It is the degree to which we overcome the sin nature in the soul and body that will determine the measure of a spirit without measure that we can carry. And how much we will be able to, or how much we will be transformed into God's battle axe and his weapons of war. You see, this is where diligence comes in. I believe everybody here is on good ground. If you look at the parable of Esau, he said, when on the good ground, he said, some brought forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100. What was the difference? The degree of their diligence. The degree on which you watch and pray always. And that is what will determine how much you are transformed or to God's battle axe in these end times. Mind you, we are talking about self-control, which will now lead us to nations of the world, to possess the nations of the world. Bible says, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. So the degree to which you are diligent, what is the difference between Peter and Paul? Diligence. It's obvious. So I pray in tongues more than you all, including all the other apostles. Now you're wondering why is the divine, the pattern disciple. He's one that spoke about the revelation, the seven mysteries in the Bible. It's what only Paul that spoke about them. How come? Didn't God want to show the other ones? No. But Paul singled himself out, being diligent. But say, he that diligently seeketh, which shall what? Procure. He procured favor from God. At the end of the day, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He knew everything. You know, you can go for an examination, and by the time before they say, tell you to stop the examination, you can, while others are still trying to chew in their pen, you're going through everything. You just smile. No, you're not proud, but you know. Bible says that, know you not. He said, examine if you be in the faith. You can know. It's not pride. You can know. I follow him. So by the time he finished, he said, now it's later for me a crown. He has said something. He said, oh, not only for me, but also that Lord expect his love is appearing. So it wasn't our power special. No. The same things were offered to everybody. The same things were, in fact, was first of all offered to Peter. When God was trying to get him and send him, you see, by divine order, Peter was the one that God wanted to send to the Gentiles. But because of unbelief, he will not go. God told him the first time, he said, nothing unclean has ever come to my mouth. God kicked him out. Oh yeah, go. He got there. He was still dragging his feet. Maybe not drag our feet too. So don't miss our position. Now you imagine somebody that's supposed to come first and not go and settle for second or third. The same thing that happened to Elijah. God wanted him to deal with Jezebel. He was afraid. He ran away. Then God said, no problem. Go anoint Elisha in your stead. Praise the Lord. That will not be our portion in Jesus. So we have to give due diligence to the things that we have been taught. So we'll not allow them to run away as leaking vessels. Why do you want to buy? I was talking to one lady the other day. You know, and I was just, you understand, I want to use the illustration so you can understand what I'm saying. I said, look, you better avoid all this nonsense that people do. Don't be promiscuous. Let me just put in summary. I said, do you know why? A young lady. I said, do you know why? In your normal senses, if you have a Tokumbo car, what we call it Tokumbo, a fairly used car, are you following me? That the chassis is already shaking. And you have a brand new car. Which one will you buy? When you have the money to buy a brand new car. I said, so you better don't turn yourself into a Tokumbo car. Are you following me? That the chassis, a mechanic and a chassis is in jail. Why? The Bible says that we shall be vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for the master to prepare unto every good work. Amplified says, not for many uses. Who amongst us here, using the marriage as a type, will marry a Tokumbo car, understand what I'm saying, than marry a car, so to speak, that is brand new. So take that in the spirit. That is coming for a glorious church. without spot, wrinkle, blemish, and such. Now, in scriptural language, that's why the Bible uses virgins for Christians. Now, I'm not talking physically now. I'm talking spiritually. Are you following me? They shall be clothed in white raiment. The 144 that follow the Lamb with us wherever he goeth. It's just 144, not everybody, not the Dube church. Those that have cleansed themselves from all filthiness of the first flesh and spirit, they perfect holiness in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, this will determine the degree to which you are transformed into God's battle axe. We have different weapons of war. What a pistol will do, I follow me. What an AK-47 will do, a pistol cannot do it. I follow me. What, you know, pastor knows all this war terminology. What a Scud missile will do, an AK-47 cannot do it. So it's different weapons of war, different battle axes. So you see, it's the degree of life of God that is manifest in your body that will determine how much God can use you for, what God can do to you. I follow him. You become his battle axe. I'm talking about the transformation of the body. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 20, 23, and 24. So let us read. Yes, this is what is going on that God is doing. Jeremiah 51, verses 20, 23, 24. This came up recently in a Bible reading. And with thee, God was talking to Jeremiah. Said, and with thee, he said, thou art my battle axe. Said, thou art my battle axe. And what? Weapons of war. Say, weapons of war. Say, we are God's battle axe and God's weapons of war. Before we go any further, the Bible says, if the axe be blunt, so what shall we do? What makes the axe blunt if we are God's battle axe is the residual sin nature that is not controlled. Let's keep going. He said, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I what? Break in pieces the nations. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Let's go to verse 23 because of time. I will also what? Break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. That speaks about the church. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of ox. That's about the false apostolic and prophetic ministry in the body of Christ. Are you following me? And with thee will I break in pieces captains and what? Rulers. 24. And I will render unto what? Babylon. And to all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith the Lord. So this is what God wants to do. When you begin to control or practice self-control, till the life of Christ is manifest in your mortal body, that is the goal. God begins to transform you to his battle axe. And for a pastor will say something. We said that years ago when he's praying, what he will pray for, one hour, he doesn't pray again. He just speaks the word. Yes. You just speak the word. Why? It's been transformed into God's battle axe. So God wants us to follow suit by diligence, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to remove sin nature so that the axe head is not blunt. Some have even lost the axe head in the body of Christ. Let's keep reading. It's following the river. And until they submit to the Elijahs of our time, or the Elisha, they will not find the axe head. That's the word of the Lord. Until they submit in humility and go to Elisha and say, sir, the axe head is blunt or fallen. Because only Elisha, through the rod that he threw inside, the rod of his authority, that can they get that, or his axe head will lost forever. God said, alas, master, it is borrowed. Hold fast to that which you have, so no man takes your crown. Hold fast to that which you have, so no man takes your crown. It is borrowed. Borrowed from the king by those that are under them. Praise the Lord. So, I said something. I said, so that we don't get too carried away with types and shadows. I'll mention again so we don't lose our train of thought. We're talking about righteousness, which is right standing and right doing, self-control, that's where we are now, which ultimately leads to judgments. Are you following me? So when I said what this means, the ultimate purpose of our self-denial is to pump the life of God from our spirit into our souls, into our physical body. Are you following me? So that is similar to putting on your royal apparel.
See, many body of Christ are trying to rule in the gates of the nations of the world without a royal apparel. You see, if you don't first of all possess the gates of your own personal enemies, the five physical senses, you can never, I don't care how much you declare, lift up your heads, oh, you gates, nothing will happen. You'll be meat for the devil. You're not going to be meat for the devil. That's why you see that order, the Lord, the King, and those that are under them. I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. That covering now masks the fleshly infirmities. So put not royal apparel. We read the story. I said, let me just put aside. I said, but none can ascend to the gates of the nations to sit on the throne and rule without putting on the royal apparel, like Esther and Mordecai. Both of them had to put on the royal apparel. Let's just go there. Mordecai, Esther chapter 6, verse 10. I'll read. When it was discovered that Haman had made a plot to kill the Jews, the Christians, the other Jews didn't even know what was going on. But it took a Mordecai, was an hearing ear, to send to Esther. And you see, but before they could do anything, both of them had to put on their royal apparel. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said. That's the horse of the king. And do even so to what? Mordecai, the Jew that were seated at the gate. You see, the apparel that Mordecai put on was the apparel of the king. It's different from Esther's apparel. Mordecai had a signet ring authority. Esther, let's look at Esther because of time. Esther 5:1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her what? Royal apparel. Now, we're not talking about a physical dress. Your royal apparel is life of Christ that is made manifest in your mouth. Your apparel is your body. Your apparel is your body that has the life of God being made manifest. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. If I put it there, it's a scripture that just mentioned by people who don't know the scriptures. It's the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Are we there? It says, always bearing about in the body or in the apparel the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you deny yourself every day, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? Body. For which we are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Say, now death worketh in us and life in you. So Esther, that is following Mordecai, you must put on your royal apparel. How be that of Mordecai is different from that of Esther? I don't have time to turn to Psalm 45. See, all your garments smell of myrrh and aloes. You can put it on the board and read that I'm talking. Talking about the master himself. I think it's in Psalm 45. He said, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes. You know, it says that the king shall be, the queen shall be brought unto you. You know, and Lord have mercy. He said, yes, the king's daughter is glorious within. He said that you write, please put it there. It's just coming to me. I'm trying to avoid taking too many scriptures. Say, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Our clothing is of wrought gold, divine. Next verse. She shall be brought unto the king, that is Esther. In what raiment of needlework, the virgins are companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Where is that scripture that talks about their garments? Is this the same chapter? Say, their garments smell. You see three different companies of people. You see, let me find it. So we can, let me just keep talking so we don't waste time. Verse 8 says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Next verse. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Put it back in the last verse. It just flashed to me. Put it back there. Verse 8. It says something here, talking about the king. He says that whereby they have made thee glad. Say that God hath anointed with the oil of what? Gladness above thy fellows. Praise the Lord. So, this all is to fulfill scripture. As I mentioned, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and they are for wonders in Israel. Now you understand the prayer that one prays all the time. That the spirit, when she said we should pray for the grace of Abrahamic succession, that the spirit of God that's upon me, I follow me, that is the Father's, and the word he has put in our mouth shall not depart from our mouth or the mouth of our seed or the mouth of our seed, it's unto the third and fourth generation. Are you with me? What are we talking about? He said, for unto us a child is born. But to us, sons are given. The difference between that children can be born in a natural family. But what we are talking about here is those that we're not talking about the Saul dynasty. That is natural birth. We are talking about those that sons are given. God comes, looks in the church, and gifts. Pastor Lockbody to Pastor Baker. Sons are given. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Now you understand, because I am the child that God has given me. For signs and wonders. Does it mean that the natural, that Pastor has been preaching about the natural dynasty, you know, of David. The monarchy. And the spiritual dynasty. God married both of them together. So it's available to everybody. So don't single anybody out. Sons are given. Now, let's move on to judgment. We've spoken about righteousness, which is right standing, that gives us the life of God to practice self-denial. And after practicing self-denial, this will now lead us to the judgment that is to come. Praise the Lord. The inheritance of the spirit without measure is what now leads to the divine judgment in the church and also in the nations. And it's basically to remove strange children from the church and the nations. We all know Psalm 144. Talking about strange children. This will lead to the changing of the kingship from Saul to David and the priesthood from Eli to what? Samuel. And recently Pastor added one. And the priesthood from Abiathar to Zadok. Zadok is the priesthood that is thrust out when he was supposed to inherit. Abiathar, not Zadok. It's the priesthood that is thrust out of his priesthood, set aside, that refused to deal with the flesh. That the word of God might come to pass that is spoke through the prophet Samuel. See, what we do or don't do has an effect or can have an effect on our generations to come. Don't say it doesn't matter. Go and ask from Lot and his wife. If you read that story, the Bible says that Lot, when he left Abraham, against the will and plan and purpose of God, read that story. The Bible says he faced Sodom. He had not yet gone inside. Go and read it. If you see, put it on the board, Genesis. He said he faced Sodom. He had not yet gone inside. The next thing we will see is that Lot wasn't where? Sodom. Please put it there. I want us to see. There's a place, just type face Sodom. Was face, he set his face. He had not yet gone inside. Don't play with snow. The Bible says that there are two things that the Bible says that uses twice in the Bible. Use the word deceitfulness. Deceitfulness. It talks about the deceitfulness of riches and the deceitfulness of sin. Say, lest your hearts be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives you if you leave it at your gate. So when he left Abraham, he had no plan to go to Sodom. All he did was this. He said, look for that scripture for me. Yes. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And pitched his tent towards Sodom. It's on the way. The next thing we will know is what's in Sodom. And the rest is history. Sitting at the gates in Sodom. Inefficient spiritual authority. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What the Bible says. Yes. Lot, his name means veil, the flesh. Go and check it. That's what Lot means. L-O-T, the lust of the flesh. L-O-T, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Be careful of the deceitfulness of sin. Let's continue. So I said that Abiathar is a priesthood that is thrust out at the time was supposed to inherit. And it was Zadok that inherited. What is the difference between Abiathar and Zadok? One single difference I will show in the Bible today. Abiathar did not have an understanding of the times and the seasons and what he did. In summary, he did not have the prophetic. He's a priest. But see, your priesthood must be clothed in this day with the prophetic. Why did he have it? He was not submitted to David. Look at Zadok. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 27. You see, when you don't have an understanding of the times, you end up in the ministry, in the Aaronic priesthood that is passing away. I will not see the new order after the order of Melchizedek that is coming in. What is the difference? You can't see the change in God. What does he say? Look at Zadok. This was when Absalom rebelled against his father. And David now said, was speaking to Zadok. This is different. So, you know what? David carried three anointings. He was a king, he was a priest, and he was a prophet. So Zadok had this same prophetic anointing. So look at what he said. The king said also unto what? Zadok the priest. Art not thou a seer? Art thou not a seer? That was the mindset of Abiathar. Send your two sons with you. Honesty and humility. Are you with me? That's how you get the anointing. Honesty and humility to those not so that thing will flow. Send your two sons with you. That's the fruit. Honesty and humility with you. Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, but not that same another one. That's the difference between Abiathar and Zadok. So we must make the transition from an Abiathar type of priesthood to a Zadok type of priesthood. Sons of Zadok. Do you have time to turn there in the book of Ezekiel because of time? So we're talking about judgment now. Spoken once again about righteousness, self-denial, or self-control. We're not talking about judgment. Psalm 9, verse 16. What does it say? Psalm 9, verse 16. The Lord, said the Lord, is known by the judgment which he what? Executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Selah. How are we going to know the Lord in the end time? By the judgment which he what? Executes through his perfect church. The overcomer of anger. That's what we're going to know. Job 34. Say they shall be slain without hand. Say mighty men. Without number. That's how you're going to say, this is God though. Ah, this with no hand. So the dog will know. It's not somebody. It can only be God. We had a sample years ago. Suddenly, overnight, who the cap fits? I won't mention names. The saints of God were praying, holding on to the fire flag of a nation. That Sunday before, what happened? The angel of the Lord went through the host in Nigeria. When that season again today, 30 years from that time, it will be 30 years next year. Let us wait and hide and watch what the Lord will do. 1993 to 2023. When that season. And this is when we're going to whether the church is mature or not. 30 years. God has given Nigeria, the church in Nigeria, 30 years to mature, to push things through. What are you doing? What have you been doing? Have you been practicing this thing you have been taught? There is an emergence, folks, of the first fruit of the overcomer company.
We see it already happening. Something happened recently in Osun State. This election. But this is what caught my attention. You can go and check it. The former governor, he said something. He said that this is by the decree of the watchers. This man is a Muslim. Go and check what he said. Oh yeah, he's a Muslim. Rolf Aregbesola. Go and read what he said. He said this thing is by the decree of the watchers and the word of the holy ones. Meaning that who are the watchers? Who are the holy ones? The same thing is going to percolate through the nation of Nigeria. And a new thing will happen. Can a nation be born at one? Yes. 1993 is not 2023. Hide and watch what the Lord will do. There's a scripture that just keeps me. It's in the book of Job 34. It says that, let me find it. Just mention it. It's not in my notes. That scripture that pastor gave us. You know that God will remove mighty men. He said that those are the hypocrites will not rule. Yes, he said that these people will be ensnared. Yes, he said that the hypocrites will not. Let the people be ensnared. Go to verse 4. 4. 4. There's a scripture. 4. No. There's a scripture that talks about the wicked. In that same scripture. At the beginning. That's how it starts. Help me to redeem the time, Lord. Job 34:20. Okay. I'm coming. This is where it starts from. Yes. Twenty-six. Just a minute, I'll find it. I just want to mention something. God showed me something recently. He talks about, you know, it was Elihu that was talking. And he said something about wicked people. He says that it's about the wicked that at the end of the day, they think they are. He says, so they shall be cut off. Help me to find this girl. So, how much less do him accept person of which of him? You know, when shall be cut off? The eyes of the darkness. I'm not sure that you're pointing. He talks about the wicked. He said that the wicked is, it's for that is the water. Job 20. He said that the triumphing of the wicked is for but for a moment. Job 20 said the triumphing of the wicked. Are we there? Yeah, this is what I want us to see. Yeah, he said the triumphing of the wicked is what? Short. And the joy of the hypocrite, but for what? A moment. Verse 6. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds. Verse 7. Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? I've seen the wicked spread himself like a green bread tree. And yet I looked for his place and it was not. The church, we're no more where we used to be. 30 years have passed. Like Pastor said, the spirits that are behind the same conditions on earth don't change. It is the people that are on earth that change. So don't be careful the spirit that you allow to govern you. That same spirit is still in operation. They don't change. Let's keep reading. Sorry, I took off a bit on that. 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh, no, before we 1 Peter 4, there's a scripture in Obadiah. You see, this judgment we're talking about must start in the house of God. You have not beat your own child. You're going to beat somebody else's child. That's why one of the qualifications of being a bishop in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, is that must first of all rule over his own house. And I said, if he's not able to rule over his own house, how can he rule the church? Obadiah 1:21. Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall blow. Esau is the one that sold his birthright. Why did he do it? He allowed the sin nature, I follow in his flesh, to dominate him. They will be judged. It's not because God hates them, but so that they don't backslide and lose everything. Like the prodigal son. He came back, but with nothing, but that is still better. But that will not be a portion in Jesus. Why would we settle for Zoar?
First Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. Peter was talking. He said, but the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end of them that what shall be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18 is what I want to see. And if the righteous, say the righteous, say one, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly say two? And the sinner appear three, all in the church. What does this speak of? These three sets of people. The righteous speaks of the one third that have been refined through the fire. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Say, if the righteous be scarcely saved. Zechariah 13, verse 9. Says, and I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is what? Dried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now let us look at the rest, the ungodly and the sinner. The Bible says in Psalm 1, the ungodly is as chaff. The ungodly is the children that is not, let me put it in explain, that is not aspiring to be like God, is not practicing. Are you following me? So this two sets of people, you can find that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, say in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be what? Cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. That is what you see Paul do. So when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That, the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So it's not a judgment of condemnation, so to speak, but a person will suffer loss. So the Bible says, two thoughts in the body of Christ, they're going to suffer loss. So sometimes I sit down, I stand in awe of the teaching that comes out from this pulpit. Like last, well, it was 2 Wednesdays ago, my pastor was preaching. I just sat like this, I'm just watching. I said, my God, what are we doing? What are we doing in the body of Christ? What are we doing? This is what we're teaching people. Because if we don't teach them, they will end up like the two thoughts, which is not God's will. Now, Paul warned them. Paul said, look, I'm leaving, talking about Ephesian church. He said, I know that once I leave, grievous wolves enter the congregation. There are grievous wolves all over the body of Christ today. But there is an overcomer, first fruit company that is emerging. We can see it already. So it is this one third, the righteous that are scarcely saved, that will exalt the nations. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. As for her, if he's talking about our right standing, how come nations have not been exalted? Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, he said that, when talking about the brother, he said, what has righteousness got to do with unrighteousness? So the Bible calls the church righteousness. It is that righteousness that will exalt Nigeria. How come Nigeria, with all the born again people we have, Nigeria has not been exalted? But the righteous can't be that one third, is imagine. And when they bring about judgment to the nation, then this nation will be exalted. Isaiah 26, verses 9 to 12. Say, with my soul have I desired in the night. Are you following me? And my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Next verse. Let favor be showed to the wicked, both in the nation or in the church. A wicked person does not keep instruction. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, will he deal unjustly? I will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Next verse. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, the hand of the Lord is lifted up right now. It's lifted up. What is the hand of the Lord is lifted up? It is the right hand of God of intercession. Those that pray after the order of Melchizedek. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. So the right hand lifted up against the nations of the world today is the company of people, because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who are making intercession. So the hand has been lifted up daily now. But see what is going on. They will not see. But in the church and the nations of war. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. You can read the better rendition of that in the Amplified Bible. But as you, why is this message very important? I'll rush through. Number one, I'll just read to summarize. The practice to perfect right doing, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, based on our right standing through the blood of Jesus Christ, will determine our reward in this life and also in the life to come at the better seat of Christ. You see, right now, we are doing exams. Many of us don't know. We are doing exams daily, but we don't know. We are doing exams daily. We use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Are you diligent enough? You going, do morning Jesus prayers, or you sleep? We are doing exams daily. I'm not saying to condemn anybody. I'm just letting, you see, to let us know what is going on. If I say the sons of Issachar had an understanding of times and seasons, and what the fact that you are hearing now, message is not too late to do something about it. So, at the moment, Proverbs 11, verse 31. What does it say? Proverbs 11, 31 says, "Behold, say, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in where? In the earth. Much more the wicked and the sinner." All in the church. It says, "Year of recompenses of Zion. Day of the vengeance of our God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That is on earth, then in heaven. You can put in the Amplified Bible. See, but by the time this age closes, you already know what you are going to get over there. Because you'll be recompensed there. Once the Spirit of God manifests, you will know. Everybody will see. The day will dawn. Whether you are dressed or you are undressed. If light should go now for a split second, in darkness, some of us may bring out a drink or remove your shirt because nobody can see you. And light comes, boom. Then you say, "Ah, well, gentlemen, where is your wedding garment?" Who know? Everybody's acting like they are doing it. But when the day dawns, we'll know who is who. Are you following me? What does this say? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Amplified Bible says, "For we must all," say must all, "appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay." Payday is coming. According to what he has done in the body. What have you done in the body? Remember, the life of God must be manifest in this body. Whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been, and what he has achieved, being busy with, and giving himself and his attention to accomplishing. The degree of the measure of a life of God that you die with will determine the measure of the glory of God that you are resurrected with. Pastor has taught us. But say, "He that swear to the flesh shall of flesh reach corruption." Don't play with these things, folks. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he will wipe the tears from all their faces. Why should people be crying in heaven? This is why. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, where it talks about groaning. Before it gets there, see what it says. And the only way you can do this thing, are you following me, is to travail. The life of God will not move from your spirit, your soul, to your body if you don't pray with groanings. Go to verse 4 or 2 or something like that. It says, "For we that are in this tabernacle, do what? Groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Now, next verse. "See the reason for your earnest." Next verse. Notice the continual discourse. "Now he that hath wrought for us the same thing, is God, who also hath given us the earnest of his spirit." So what are you using your earnest to do? God has given you the earnest through travail to pump that life into your physical body, which will determine your reward. Same thing. Wise virgins, foolish virgins. Remember, those that don't put on the royal apparel, we can never rule nations of the world. They can't even appear there. Mercy, Lord. The second reason, I already mentioned it, just summarized. God wants to open the gates to all nations for the disciples of the nations
and the closing of the age. Matthew chapter 24, verses 14. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the earth for a witness, and then the end shall come. It is that company that break through the gates of the nations of the world that preach the gospel. The principle by which Jesus operates is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. So this company of people, daily, death works in them as they get up to pray in the morning. And then life works in people. Themselves, their household, the nations, and then nations. Well, I would say, first your Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, then automatically, this is how it's going to operate. That river that flows from Ezekiel's temple, first from the ankles, goes to the knees, goes to the loins, then rivers swim over. How are we going to do this? Very simple. We've been taught, and I thank God for the fathers, and I thank God because I believe everybody listening to the sound of my voice, we are doing it. Now, I say this again. Practicing. Say practicing. God wants us to be more diligent in these things. Once you are here, and you are practicing, you are guaranteed to be part of that first fruit of a common God. Once you stay on that, are you following me? I look at Peter, for example. Peter was imperfect. I'm not saying we should not strive to be perfect. But yet he made it. So if Peter can make it, you and I also can make it. As long as we stay under Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? Praise the Lord. So understand that. How? By staying under the covenant of true apostolic and prophetic fathers with the right attitude of honesty, humility, submission, and daily, say daily, practice of their instructions. That, again, I'll re-emphasize. God has used mommy to set up Good Morning Jesus in the house. So that is an avenue for everyone to practice. Say practice. Practice. A just man may fall 7 times, but the Lord would uphold him. Are you following me? That says, you see, I understand. Like Jesus Christ said, he told his disciples, he said, Peter, he said, the spirit is willing, I understand, but the flesh is weak. God understands. But you see, we can't stay in that place. We have to aspire to move to overcome that flesh. Are you following me? Yes. You know why? Because that's what God said. And you can see Peter at the end of the day, in the book of Acts, the same Peter that was sleeping at Gethsemane. Praise the Lord. So, stay in that covering, practicing their instructions. Ephesians 2, 20 to 22 says, and we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Keep reading. In whom all the building fitly framed together goeth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom we also are builded together for an habitation of the Spirit. That is the end. We are built on the foundation of the apostles. That is talking about the teaching. He's talking about the practice of their teaching. You have the right attitude towards them, of unity, honesty, and submission. Now, with that, you cannot practice their teaching. He's talking about their teaching here. Jesus Christ said, we're talking about building. He said in the book of Luke and Matthew, he said something. He said, if any man do my sayings, he shall be like unto a man that built his house on a foundation. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ being the chief. So we're talking about the apostolic and prophetic instruction given to you that you practice daily. That's why Paul said, I as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Let every man take it how he build. Say, not laying again the foundation of repentance from Buddha. So we're talking about doing their teaching. That's how you build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You know why? A storm is coming. The winds will blow. The floods will rise, I follow me, and the rains will fall to test whether you dug deep and built on that foundation of apostolic and prophetic teaching. No need to be afraid. Then, the second thing is daily self-judgment. Say daily self-judgment. And we do this to condemn our wicked actions and attitudes of omission and commission and so crucify the sin nature in our souls and body that caused them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31. Verse 31 to 32. Are we there? What does it say? It says that if we judge ourselves, we will not. 1 Corinthians 11 31. What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. It says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that will not be condemned with the world. Are you all with me? So that is the first thing we do. Honesty and humility, submission, then we'll judge ourselves. We condemn the same nature, not ourselves, that made us do those things. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Daily self-judgment. And then the next thing that we'll do now is daily tithe your time by spending 2.5 to 3 hours. Make it a goal. Say, make it a goal. Of prayer, with all kinds of prayer in the spirit to crucify the flesh. Are you all with me? Luke 9, 23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So like we have been taught, we tithe our time every day. 2.4 to 3 hours every day. And from the Bible says, who in the days of the flesh, when I offered up prayers and supplications with strong kind and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was holding at the fear, though he was his son, yet learnt the obedience by the things which he suffered. He suffered daily self-denial. That's the only thing we're going to do, because he is the pattern son. So, how do we do this? I want to, you see, Lord showed me something recently. Say 2.4 to 3 hours. And I discovered from my own experience, one, that is what actually it would take to kill the flesh. Bible says that when they hung Jesus Christ on the cross, from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, said there was darkness. I said at the 9th hour, he gave up the ghost. Now, we are not giving up the ghost. And Bible said the veil of his temple was rent. 3 hours of prayer, walking in the spirit, confession, is about 2.4 to 3 hours. So you pick up your cross every day and you start making those prayer, party prayer, communion prayer, your confessions, your Bible reading. It takes about 2.4 to 3 hours. From 6 to the 9th hour, the veil is rent from top to bottom. And then you give up, the flesh dies. Praise the Lord. And the other thing, the final thing we'll be doing is that we'll be washing our feet. Washing our feet every 6 hours. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Pastor has taught us. Are we there? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Next verse. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. One. And thou shalt teach them. Say, teach them. Diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou what? Risest up. That is 4 times. And for them, that is 6 hours, you know, every 6 hours. Next verse. And thou shalt bind them. Okay, we're not binding anything. So that's what we do. That's how we get the every 6 hours from. Like the priest that carried the ark, every 6 paces, they will make a sacrifice. Every 6 paces, they will make a sacrifice. So that is what God is calling us to do. The practice of righteousness, self-control, and then to part of that overcomer vanguard that will establish God's righteous judgments upon the earth. And then shall the end come. Let us bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask God for mercy. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but to whom God showeth mercy. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. The Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Souls the
strain and stress and learn all that life's confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace.
Let's put one hand on our heart and raise our hand to heaven. Act of surrender to the Lord. I say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Say, Lord, I judge myself and I condemn my wicked actions and attitudes of omission and commission hitherto. And so crucify the sin nature and is lost in my soul and body that caused them. I receive mercy unto eternal life to soften my heart, to enable me to repent, to forsake, and to be faithful, and to receive wisdom and instruction, and have victory and triumph over judgment in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, we have life, we're strong, and overcome the wicked one, Satan himself, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have overcome all evil spirits. In Jesus' name, we have life. Evil spirits oppressing or attacking our souls and bodies, we cast you out. We destroy your works. We resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. Pastor, in Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Lord, I set my will. I determine to apply completely and operate diligently the principles of perfection, doing all God reveals to me to do, acknowledging and inquiring of the Lord in my thinking by frequently at every opportunity as led by the Spirit and during temptations, asking the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving for mercy unto eternal life, to be faithful, to do all things with love in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in tongues. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your help. For your blood. Your life. Your power. In sufficient measure. Into our souls. Into our bodies. Circumstances and regional heavens. In Jesus' name. Amen.